Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
That's a hymn based upon a story of Jesus, just 12 years old, found himself, or actually he is found by others, in his father's house. That's how he refers to it. The boy Jesus at the temple is recorded in the second chapter of Luke. The last time Luke talked about this little boy, he was much littler, but still an infant, also in the temple. He keeps finding his way back to his father's house. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson today, the boy Jesus at the temple in Luke chapter 2. Pastor Tom Baker joins us on this Tuesday afternoon. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Yes, hi, Todd.
So the last time we saw Jesus, he was in the temple being dedicated, so to speak, and we have these prophets, male and female prophets, Simeon and Anna, extolling him as the salvation of Israel. Now he's back in the temple again at 12 years old. What's he doing there?
Well, actually, this is the first recorded time that he's back in the temple in the Bible, but he was actually there 10 or 11 times before that, because this was the time of the Passover. And therefore, because Jesus obeyed all things and he was given parents who would also follow the laws of the Old Testament, you look at Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 5 and 6, where God says, "You may not offer the Passover sacrifice within any of your towns that the Lord your God has given you, but at the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name dwell in it, there you shall offer the Passover sacrifice in the evening at sunset at the time you came out of Egypt." So we assume that Jesus and his family, Joseph and Mary, went to the Passover each year. And this is now 12 years after his time that we were first hearing about him being in the temple. That was with, if you remember, Simeon and Anna. So we also find the first recorded words of Jesus in the entire Bible, in the New Testament, where he says that, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" So that's the significance of why he was in the temple at that time.
So he winds up there, but his parents are in deep consternation because, as all the time he's there, they think he's lost, or as soon as they realize he's not there, they think he's lost. Tell us that part of the story.
Yes. People would go in groups. And so as they return to Nazareth, they would be in a large group, and a lot of times the parents would be in part of the group and the kids in another part. So they, at age 12, of course, he could get around quite a well. And so they just assumed that he was coming back with them. And it was important that they stay in groups, because it wasn't unusual that thieves and robbers would try to descend upon people. Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, where he was accosted by robbers and such. So at the end of the day, as they were looking for him, whoops, he's not able to be found. So they decide, therefore, to go back to Jerusalem and find out whether or not he just got left behind. And that's what they do for 3 days, searching for Jesus.
So let's kind of just look at it from their perspective for a second here, Tom, because, you know, 3 days without your 12-year-old son, yeah, sure, he's 12, he's fine, but they're in distress. 3 days, 1 hour, 3 hours would cause any parent to go into distress as well.
Yes, and one might jump to the conclusion, uh-oh, Jesus is disobeying his parents. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus' priority, and this was a good insight, by the way, with the Growing in Christ material, that's where I got this from, his priority was always obedience to his true Father in heaven. Remember, Joseph was just the adopted father, so to speak. Mary was the true mother. And so, therefore, Jesus was not disobeying them when he decided he needed to be in the temple. In fact, talk about distress. Look at the distress that Mary is going to undergo at the cross. And even before that, when Jesus says things that just appear to upset her, and so she's pondering all these things in her heart. And so this distress is really part of being the mother of the Messiah.
And he refers to, when he is found, he refers to not, she says, your father and me. He says, didn't you know that I would be about my father's business or my father's house? Is he correcting her a little bit there on who the real father is?
I believe so, which, of course, she would recognize immediately since Gabriel had told her and she knew that she was not pregnant normally, but instead conceived by the Holy Spirit. So, therefore, she understood that. And it's kind of interesting. Some think that the first place they should have gone to was the temple. But instead, they're looking probably among their relatives, going to the homes of their cousins, etc., that they would have near there. And for 3 days, now the 3 days is kind of interesting. You know, every now and then you run across a number, and the 3 days is found throughout Scripture. Joseph in the Old Testament interprets a dream of a butler and a baker, where there are three branches that he says, well, in 3 days, the one will be restored, the other one will be hung. When Joseph puts his brothers in jail in Egypt, they do it for 3 days. When the curse of darkness descends on Egypt in Exodus 10, it is for 3 days. And Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days, and Jesus was in the grave for 3 days. And I'm just touching a few of these. It's really quite marvelous to see how the 3 days becomes quite significant from God's point of view.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll teach more of this Sunday school lesson from Luke chapter 2, the boy Jesus at the temple. Tom is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You can find out more about Law and Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
You'll find descriptions of real events and actual confessions of demonic encounters in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Robert Bennett. Afraid is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300: Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York; Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama; Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California; St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan; Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado; Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri; The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California;
St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Stanzas 2 and 3 of the hymn Within the Father's House. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Tom, one of the things that we didn't mention before at length is what Jesus is doing there in the temple. He's, in fact, conversing with the teachers and the experts in the law, and it's a little unclear as to who's doing the questions and who's doing the answers here. Clear this up for us, and what is it that so amazes these experts in the law?
It is significant that you make that point, because what is happening here, and that's why Jesus increases in wisdom and stature, they find him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, though those would be the scribes, listening to them and asking them questions. Now, it's kind of noteworthy to realize that one of the ways in which the scribes would teach would be to ask questions to the audience. It's actually a technique that I use quite often. For example, in the Bible study today, in the sermon on Sunday, I would begin the sermon with a question, and then you answer the question. Now, in this case, a lot of the questions, the teachers probably thought, boy, you know, no layperson is really going to know the answer to this, but they are astonished at the answers that Jesus gives, and probably even more astonished at his questions. In fact, Jesus does not stop that technique. For example, he's talking to the Pharisees who believe in a resurrection of the dead, but the Sadducees do not. They only take the first five books of Moses in the Bible. And what Jesus does, he takes from their first five books two passages. And here's the question he asks the Sadducees. Do you not believe that God is a God of the living and not of the dead? Oh, yes, he is a God of the living. Then why does he say he's the God of Isaac, Jacob, and Abraham if they are dead? That was a marvelous question to which the Sadducees could give no answers. And I just imagine, by 12 years old, I have a grandson who's not 12 yet, and he loves reading. He knows things about creation. He knows things all about the solar system. He's just really, really got a lot of wisdom in his head. Now, Jesus would have far more than that when it comes to reading the scriptures. So probably even at this point, he's recognizing that those are those Pharisees who say, well, thank God I'm not like a tax collector or like a prostitute. And then he makes the point, probably asking the question then, why did God go to the town of Nineveh? That was a town of Gentiles. And remember how Jonah, they're not going to be able to answer those questions. So I'm assuming that they were not only astonished at the answers he was able to give to them when they asked questions, but also the questions he would ask them that maybe at that point they were unable to answer.
Is Jesus learning something here?
We need to distinguish, theology is the art of making distinctions, between his divine nature and his human nature. In his divinity, he knows all things, so there's nothing there to learn. And when he humbled himself, He didn't get rid of his divine nature. He simply did not make use of it. But in his human nature, he grew like all of us. And that's the significance of that last verse, where he increased in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and man. That is specifically speaking about his growth in the human nature. No sin involved, but as he came to read the scriptures more and more, probably more questions came to him and really began to set him up. Now, this was not part of his public ministry. In that day and age, people really weren't considered to be listened to until they were about 30 years of age. So Jesus had another 18 years in studying God's word, and who knows what other special revelation was given to him as it was done with the Apostle Paul. And that is really significant, because the theme of this lesson that we got to get across to the children is, where do we find Jesus?
So with about a minute, answer that question for us.
Yes. First of all, Jesus is everywhere. And it's an important point to know that whether you're a farmer or a worker in the office, as you do your work properly, you are doing it also for your neighbor. But if you want to find God in his holiness, if you want to find God in the religious sphere, then it is through the worship service. It isn't simply going to a church, because unfortunately a lot of churches today do not have proper worship services. There's no repentance, no absolution, no baptism of children or adults, no Lord's Supper. This is where we find Jesus. So the lesson I would want to get across to the children, don't look around the world. Where are you, God? Go to where he says he will be, and that is through the means of grace, word, and sacrament in the holy worship service.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on John preparing the way in Matthew chapter 3. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss Baptists and Lutherans on God's law. Dr. Scott Murray will join us. We're also going to talk with Pastor David Peterson about the purification of Mary. Already there at 12 years old, he is exercising, we think about him as exercising his divinity here, marveling these teachers. He's exercising his humility. He is taking upon himself the burden of our sins and his cross to go about his Father's business, which will lead him to give himself as a sacrifice for our sins. I'm Todd Wilken. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilken and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Is the law the opposite of the gospel? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, Is the Law Bad? Some Myths About God's Law. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read about Tim Wood's journey from many different Christian confessions to the sound and seamless theology of the Lutheran Confession, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.